is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Mike Brohard joining us now from CSURams.com. Mike, randomly, Texter's bringing this up, but I got to ask. I ask the important questions to you, okay? Are you ready?
Yeah, sure. Okay. Let's go. What does Texter's have for us?
What's your favorite Cars movie? Like, movie about cars?
Oh, God.
Yeah, right? This is my listeners, man. They think of the really tough stuff. I just said Cars. That's loosely based on a true story.
I like Gone in 60 Seconds.
You got it right. One of our texters said Gone in 60 Minutes, and I'm like, that is a slow getaway, man. But no, that was a good one. I brought up, Mike, I brought up Days of Thunder. Did you ever see that one with Tom Cruise?
Yes, and I hated it.
You hated it?
I hated it. Cause think about it. Think about it. They just took Top Gun and put it in NASCAR, and that was it. That was the only thing different. He wasn't flying a jet. He was driving a car. That was the only thing different, and I thought it was stupid, and I'm not a big Nicole Kidman fan.
That is actually – and I liked the movie, but honestly, I think the last time I watched it, I was like 12.
I'm serious. You put those scripts side by side, and you take out a fighter jet and put it in a NASCAR, and that's the only change.
Well, it's true because the guy that's like his competitive rival is basically what's his face? Val Kilmer's character.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
It's the same movie. They just changed vehicles.
I'm going to go back. Yeah, you know how it goes. Things you watched when you were young, you go back and watch again, and you're like, wait, that was absolutely horrible. Why was I ever into that?
Right. Well, see, now I'm sitting here thinking, is Dukes of Hazzard considered a quote-unquote Cars movie because the main character is the General Lee?
I know. You and I are on the same page today, Mike. It's scary. We had someone suggest that, and I said, is that really a car movie? Or
I don't know. Is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
No, I don't think Die Hard is a
same
Christmas
kind of
movie.
Concept.
I'm with you on those things. Because it's got to be, like, Angel brought up Talladega Nights.
Talladega Nights. Here's my other one that I think is actually, now that I think about it a little bit more, that I might like a little bit better than Gone in 60 Seconds. And that's Carrie. Or not Carrie, but the Stephen King movie with...
Is it Christine?
Christine, yeah.
Dude,
the car.
It's like Mike is friends with our listeners here, because McLean texted in earlier and said, the movie Christine, and I've never heard of that before.
Yeah, it's based off a Stephen King novel where the car is basically possessed. It's awesome.
Well, Angel's Googling it there, and he's like, oh, I guess it's a scary movie about cars. So
Stephen King wrote it.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're getting good ones here. Let's see. Smitty says, you got to see Smokey and the Bandit. I've never seen Smokey and the Bandit.
Oh, what a good movie.
Is that a Cars movie?
Well, yeah, because the main thing is, you know, he's driving around the country in a Trans Am, avoiding the police because he's trying to run interference for his buddy, Jerry Reed, who's driving a semi full of Coors Banquet beer, which was not sold in Texas at the time. And some big rancher cattleman wanted it for nothing but Coors at his party. So it was like a smuggling in across state lines. And so he, Burt Reynolds and Sally Field, who he meets on the road, yeah. That's a good movie.
I was right about the Burt Reynolds, Sally Field thing. That was only, I think I just remember seeing posters or pictures or something. Mike, if we bring back the movie review this summer, we don't review anything new. I would like you to be involved in that.
All right. I'm good.
Very insightful. Aaron Texan said, I've always made that same comparison today of Days of Thunder and Top Gun. I'm glad somebody else sees it. So.
Yes, it's the exact same movie.
Yeah. Mike Brohard joining us from CSURams.com. Hey, Mike, this is a stupid question, but when did we start actually calling it like a bye week when a team doesn't play for several days in college basketball?
There's no stupid questions, Brady.
I feel like it is. I know it's going to be a smart answer, and I'm going to feel even more stupid.
No, it's just the way that figures that, you know, the schedule sets out somebody's got to miss a normal conference game slot. So it just comes over from football, like where you miss a game, they just call it a bye.
Okay, so I didn't know. I knew, obviously, with football, you know, you get it. But basketball, yeah. It's just like, oh, they're just not playing this weekend. I just didn't actually know we labeled it. But I guess we did.
No, because there's always going to be that slot because, you know, everybody's got a travel partner, right?
Yeah. No, it makes sense.
Those two, yeah.
All right, so we knew, you and I talked last week, we knew these games, these next two home games against Air Force and UNLV at home, they were going to be important before the Utah State-Boise State game. I think I keep bringing this up. It does feel like the Mountain West right now is like the NBA playoffs to me. It's like the series doesn't start until someone wins on the road. It kind of feels like that in this conference. Everybody's going to be expected, if you want to be a top team in the conference, you got to win at home, maybe steal a few on the road, but the home games are more important than ever, it feels like.
Oh, yeah, because you can't give up anything that you want at home. You just can't, and especially not against the teams that you feel like you're competing against. So that's what's happening. You can't lose at home, but if you can steal one on the road, that's what everybody's craving for. I mean, if you look at like a plus minus in hockey, that's a couple pluses in your thing if you can get one of the big guys at home. Colorado State missed a chance to do that twice. They're going to have a couple more chances coming up to do that, but you need to win at home. And I still find it, and like I've talked to Kevin Lytle about this. I mean, I'm not going to be surprised if everybody loses a game at home at some point in time. It's just that kind of league. It's a tough league.
Yeah, it's entertaining too. From our standpoint, it's entertaining. Like every night, if there's a Mount West game on, you know it's going to be next to must see, must attend, whatever. So it's fun, but it's intense, and it's probably really stressful for this coaching staff.
Well, I think, yeah, everything, because you really in protect mode. You got to protect what you think is yours and obviously the home court's yours. So then you look at a game like tonight against Air Force and everybody's going, okay, so they're 7-8, they've lost 6 straight, they're 0-3 in conference, but they're one of the most frustrating teams to play and they will irritate teams and they play close games and they average just over 67 points a game and they give up 67 points a game. That's the type of team this is. They got 3 guys that can score, but they're just patient and they're very, you know, methodical about the way they go about things, and they can frustrate a team. So teams are going, you know, Colorado State's got to stay within itself tonight, really focus on what it does and not get caught up in the semantics of the times that are going to be frustrated, the times that are going to be lulls.
Mike Brohard joining us from CSURams.com. And Mike, we always say this when we talk about a competitive conference, and a lot of times it's true, sometimes it's just a cliche, but I think you can honestly say even the worst, quote-unquote worst team in the Mountain West, could you potentially see them pull off an upset against anybody in this conference?
I mean, the team that fascinates me right now is I don't think San Jose State has lost a game that they weren't winning in conference play. And they've played some tough teams, and they've played everybody close. You know, they got Air Force, and it was a 3-point game. UNLV is going to get somebody. You just know they're going to get somebody somewhere. You just get that feeling. But, yeah, I think it's that kind of league, especially because you get into a point where when you're in league play, everybody really kind of knows what you want to do. The players will change a little bit. The systems are still fairly much the same. So everybody around the league's got kind of an idea, and that familiarity that can lead you into some traps.
Yeah, no question about it. And again, makes for entertainment for our side of things, but pulling your hair out if you're a coach in this conference for tonight against Air Force. What's the health situation like? We know we were excited to see Strong back in the mix. Josiah Strong played almost 20 minutes in that game. Does he get reinserted into the starting lineup tonight, Mike?
I don't know if it's tonight. They'll play it out, and it could be matchups type things. They're going to keep increasing his minutes, right? And he and Lake are still going to play a whole bunch. They're still going to play a vital role. So who's starting, who's not, it doesn't really matter. They're both going to play a lot. They're both the two of the best perimeter defenders that they've got. So they've got to play. They're going to play a bunch of minutes no matter who's actually getting announced before the game and who's not.
Okay. Well, we'll be excited to check this game out tonight. Mike, I enjoyed your write-up at csurams.com about, you know, the exciting weekend that it was for, well, all of Colorado State, but we had the women's game. We know Katie Cronin, Becky Hammond, they were there at the game. I loved your write-up, kind of how their beginnings with Colorado State and where it went from there. Talk to us about what that was like over the weekend, seeing those legends in the inside Moby.
Those kind of stories are fun for me to do because I actually watched both of them play when they were, like, first getting here. That's how old I am.
That is cool, though.
We all know that. But I watched them play with the Colorado Chill, and I watched them become really good friends. And honestly, they turned around a program. I mean, they had two really good recruits come in at the same time. And Katie sometimes gets forgotten and all that, but, you know, she earned honorable mention All-America honors. She was the second leading scorer. She did a little bit of everything. And I thought it was funny because, you know, we're talking to her in the press conference, and it was Becky that brought up the fact that, hey, look, Katie started every game of her career. I didn't. I had to work my way into the starting lineup. And people forget that because of the career that Becky went on to have. But to me, it's neat. I mean, you often hear athletes talk about how it's not the wins and losses that they remember most. It's the friendships and the bonds. And you see that with these two. I mean, they don't live next door to each other anymore, right? I mean, Becky's all over the place. She's in Vegas, and she's doing work for ESPN, and Katie's still here. But it's like when they get together, the conversation just extends from the last time that they spoke.
Well, and I bet you, like you said, that was probably a joy for you to cover that story, kind of following that from the beginning. But what I think is cool too is you see that, and you're starting to see, you know, currently your current Rams going out there, or former Rams still, but currently playing professional sports, they're going out and representing. I just think that it does go to show you that things are in a good spot with Colorado State. We are seeing more and more of these players go out there. And you look at Cronin and Hammond, like those two are such big inspiration for, you know, whether it's basketball, whether it's male sports, female sports, they got to be a big inspiration for the things that, especially with Becky Hammond, what she's doing on the national stage, what they continue to do once they get out of Colorado State.
Yeah, I mean, I would still argue with most people that two of the most identifiable athletes of all time at Colorado State are both female. And it's Becky Hammond and it's Amy Van Dyken, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking the six-time Olympic gold medalist. She's America's original golden girl, and Amy Van Dyken. And then you have Becky Hammond, who's been a complete trailblazer for the women's game, done so many things, opened up doors. Is still a very articulate, ardent supporter of the game and what it needs and how to grow it. And that's what she's all about, right? And then you do have you have a handful of male athletes that you do remember, right? I mean, everybody still knows who Joel Dreesen is. Everybody still knows who Bradley Van Pelt is. But when you talk about just, like, otherworldly success, I mean, it's a Hammond and it's Van Dyken. It's Sinead Deloach, right? I mean, she's a bronze medalist in the Olympics. You go back to a guy that's had that kind of success, and it's back in the Munich games when, you know, a decathlete was winning one from Colorado State, right? That's how far back you go, but some of the most identifiable people have been female athletes at Colorado State.
Well, and you had mentioned it with Becky. I obviously, her coaching resume speaks for itself. We'll see what happens in the future. I think many do truly believe she'll be the first female head coach or head whatever that is in the NBA, and we'll see. But I really enjoy her takes when she gets on. She got a lot of crap for her take on Jalen Brunson for the Knicks, and I listen, whether I agreed with it or not, she presented it so well. She got people going. That's the job. So I'm curious to see her more in that role too, because I think she's really entertaining when it comes to the media side of things.
Right, and the funny thing is that's the way she's always been. She's been a straight shooter. This is what I think. I'm going to say it, and I don't care if you like it or not. This is my opinion. And that's the way Becky's always been. It's hilarious. I mean, a new portion of society has been able to see it, but those of us who actually covered her back in the day, that was Becky. I mean, she was as brash as BBP was when he was giving quotes. Or David Anderson. David Anderson was hilarious. Pete Rebstock told it like it was. they didn't really care what it was. That's always been Becky. It's been awesome.
Mike, can you answer this? Who was your favorite former, current, whatever, Colorado State Ram to cover? Can you answer that, or do you feel bad about answering that?
I don't feel bad about answering it. I just don't know that I have one specific favorite. There have been a lot of people that I think have just, you know, when they leave, you just know that they're going to do the world. You know, it's just you wish them all the success because of the people they are. Katie Corona, you know, was one of them. But, you know, I look at somebody like a Fred Zerbless, a Jake Bennett, who's recent. You know, Dave Anderson was awesome. Joel Dreesen, top of the world. The two McBride brothers are some of my favorite people just because of who they were. Not anything to do with their success, but they are two of the nicest kids I've ever met in my life, right? So you have a bunch of favorites, not one particular one. Ryan Stonehouse has been one of the most fascinating people I think I've ever met. You just sit down and talk to him about conspiracy theories, just the oddities of life, and the fact that this is a kid that he's an NFL record holder, but he can converted a van to travel in, built an outdoor kitchen in Fort Collins at his grandmother's house. Kid's got skills. They're just fascinating people, and that's the fun part of when you get to know who some of these people are as humans. It's a lot of fun. Weston Richburg he's always great to talk to, and just the way his perspective has changed on life from the time that he first got here to what he is now as a father, right? And after a career and what's important to him. But family has always been a big deal for him. You know, one of my favorite quotes from him is when he was dating Marley and she was on the volleyball team, his cousin played for Baylor. Baylor was coming in to play volleyball, and I asked him who he was cheering for, and he goes, obviously family. I mean, what's thicker than water? And, of course, he had to explain that to Marley. Well, good thing now they're family, right?
That's good, man. Well, and again, that's what I appreciate. Yeah, you can get your pre- and post-game write-ups and stuff like that, and that's great, too. But I love these stories. I love the stories about the people outside, you know, what they're doing off the floor, what they're doing off the field, because that's what I think creates even more of those storylines and gets us even more excited about the game. So I strongly suggest people check that one out at csurams.com. Mike put together a nice piece about Katie Cronin and Becky Hammon. Mike, always appreciate you, man. And I will. I'll try to go back and watch Days of Thunder, and I'll see if we can really say that it's basically Top Gun on wheels.
I'm telling you right now, it is Top Gun on wheels, and you know it is.
I feel like you're right, yeah.
Go watch Christine. That's a good movie.
In like January, I like to, once October hits, I like to get in that mode. So maybe once.
You can watch scary movies at any time. That's a good movie. Actually, better yet, read the book.
Is it scarier than the movie, Mike?
Stephen King's a really talented,
Oh, I gotta go. Okay, well, one of these days we do Stephen King.
Then find Smokey and the Bandit and do that too.
All right, I'll give it a shot. Well, I'm probably gonna tune into some. Wait, hey, how can we watch tonight, Mike? If you're not going to the game, how can we watch? Is it on like
Mountain West
Network?
No.
Okay, cool. I believe the UNLV game will be on FS1. So. Be good.
Well, you know, you take what you can get, right?
You take what you can get. Mike Brohard, CSURams.com. Mike, we'll catch up with you next week, my friend.
All right, Ryan Pfeiffer says hi.
Tell him I said hi. I miss him.
All right, we'll do. Bye-bye.
I love Mike because Mike is the guy. He never knows what he's going to get from me, and I never know what I'm going to get from him. So I like to ask him some of the random stuff that we're getting from our listeners on occasion, and I think it works well. I've got to find that out, man. I got to go back and watch Days of Thunder and see if it's just Top Gun all over. Although I don't even remember Top Gun as much as I should. Did you see it? The old one?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's like a family favorite of mine.
I never got into it.
I remember like when, back in like 2008 or something, we got like surround sound installed in our living room.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first movie we watched was Top Gun to get like to hear the jet engines.
Yeah.
And music.
I don't know. I just never.
Oh, it's great.
I never got into it. But I liked Days of Thunder, apparently.
Did you see Maverick?
No.
Oh. It's so good. No,
It took me a minute because I was like, wait, Mel Gibson's Maverick in 1990? No. That was hilarious.
Top Gun Maverick.
That Maverick is good, though. If you want to laugh and enjoy Western, go back and watch Maverick with Mel Gibson. change your life, change mine. 38 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.